Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott and Tim Schwartz.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. Yes, another hour of your favourite technology talked about from a blind or partially sighted person's point of view. That would be our point of view, actually. Yes, it's Stephen Scott with you and Tim Schwartz this week. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Glad to be back.
Yeah, Sean's not here. So Sean moved house, as you know, and we've managed to get 1 week of work out of him. And that is it. Because, well, let's just say, I think he's bought a house made of plastic or something. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what he's bought. But it's, he's having problems, shall we say.
That's definitely an understatement, yes.
Yeah, he's having a few issues. So Sean not with us this week. Sean, I hope you're well. Although, as I know you're having electricity problems and internet problems, you won't be able to listen to us anyway. So, you know, we could see anything about Sean this week. Anything.
Oh, so tempting.
After what he said about you and Donald Trump, Tim. I mean,
well, this is true. I've definitely given him some flack over that, trust me.
Well, we have got lots to talk about this week on the show. Slightly different this week, actually, because I did an interview, Tim, a couple of weeks ago where I spoke to Ian Hughes from Associated Optical, which is a company in the UK that sells a range of different products that help blind and partially sighted people do different parts of their life. Now, a lot of their equipment they sell is perhaps, you might consider, like resale, if that's a good way of putting it. So companies like Eschenbach, who make magnifiers, will sell through this company. You'll also get products from eSight, which I didn't know existed even in the UK at this point. eSight, of course, the glasses that people can wear to improve their vision, at least that's what the company claims. They are on sale in the UK. I had no idea of this until I met Ian, which was a chance meeting. And when I met him, I thought, I really have to sit down and talk to this guy and get a bit of a handle on what the company sells, what it does. And in amongst all of this, one thing I learned about was a product called Bioptics, which is just incredible. It's not glasses, but it's almost like wearing a monocular all the time. You know those monoculars? That, I don't know if you have ever used one,
yeah.
Tim.
But yeah, I remember those, absolutely. Yeah.
But instead of having it that you'd have to hold up to your eye, it's always there because it's part of your glasses and it's kind of customized to you. It's an incredible thing and I cannot begin to tell you how much it blew me away when I tried it. So I'm going to talk to Ian about it. And after we did the interview, and it became quite a lengthy interview, I thought, you know, will we do it as a special podcast? Will we? And I thought, you know, Tim and I talked about it and we said, you know, let's just put this out on air because it's a really good interview and I think people would like to hear about this. So, bit of a longer interview coming up later today, so it means we don't have any news this week and we're not going to get to your emails this week. Sorry, but we will get to them next week, I promise. But yeah, lots to come on that. It is a really interesting interview with Ian coming up. Claire Potter's also back with us from Potter's Picks, so lots to come. But of course, it's been a big week in tech last week, Tim, because CES 2018 was in town in Las Vegas. Were you there? Did you go? You're in America.
Well, just because I'm in America doesn't mean I'm just next door to Las Vegas. This is a very big country, remember. Yes, I would love to have been there. Hopefully someday I will be able to make it to CES. But unfortunately, no, not this year. But yeah, a lot of big things happening at CES and VR and home assistants and virtual assistants and even with vehicles and automated vehicles. So it's so many different things we've seen in the past and so many different things that are now coming to fruition and are really becoming today's technology. So yeah, it's really a big, big conference this year.
Big conference this year, but I have to say a lot of the reviews I've been reading, the mainstream reviews about it, have said that it hasn't been quite as good as the past few years. And primarily because there's been fewer launches of new technology. Now, just to be clear on this, I said this in my report last week. A lot of companies now aren't launching their products at CES. It was once the big place everyone would flock to and see the latest gadgets. But now a lot of companies, in particular Apple and Google and Microsoft, are holding their own launch events where they bring out their own equipment. You can understand why, because they get separate headlines instead of it all being gelled into one. I get that. But that means that we're seeing less technology coming out. But there's another reason for that, and that's because the kind of technology we're talking about at CES this year was actually tech. It's the internal, if you like. It's not the kit itself. It's not a physical thing. It is the Amazon Echo Alexa or the OK Google, you know, Google Assistant. It's the innards, if you like, we're talking about. It's the assistants themselves and how they can be built into everyday technology. So new technology, but same technology, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, because you're seeing a marriage of sorts of this older, well, a couple years older technology being combined with all these other things that we already have and making, in a sense, a new technology. So, yeah, you're right. Between a lot of the big companies doing their own conventions, their own shows throughout the rest of the year, that does take away a little bit from CES. And then seeing similar or same things year to year, but as they grow and mature, that might seem stale to some people. And then the other thing I've read a lot about is people saying CES is becoming a glorified car show or tech car show because they're really trying to show off, the car companies that is, they're trying to show off the new technology of cars at CES, which they usually would reserve for the big auto shows. And they still do, not that they don't, but a lot of CES has become, you know, automobiles, and that's not been CES of the past. And so I think that's a change that's really kind of changed the way CES is presented.
Lots of talk around the Amazon Alexa and Google, but very little chat about Cortana at CES this year. And, you know, just to sort of quantify that a little bit, Acer and Asus, now these are computer manufacturers, laptops, you'll have seen in many of the big stores that sell laptops, you see Acer and Asus, usually the sort of, I wouldn't say the bottom end of the line, but they have a range of laptop options and desktop options as well. And they tend to have options at the bottom end and at the high end. They're now talking about having Alexa built in to their computers. Now, that's Microsoft computers. So where's Cortana gone?
You know, I'm not sure the answer to that. However, I wouldn't be surprised if Cortana is still implemented within Windows, perhaps. But maybe, you know, Acer and Asus with these specific deals with Amazon is just adding this as an extra feature, like an icon on the desktop kind of thing. I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. From everything I've read, you know, like you said, it's going to be implemented in there, but I couldn't really find, as much as I tried, I couldn't find what they were going to do with Cortana. So I can only presume that it'll still be there as part of Windows as a choice, maybe. But you also have Alexa as well.
I mean, we're seeing Alexa built into glasses, like Vuzix are bringing out glasses that you can wear, and apparently they're saying that this is the glasses that Google Glass always wished it was, which will be interesting to see if that ever comes to pass. It's always interesting at CES because we see prototypes, don't we? We don't really see finished products. We don't see things that necessarily will ever even appear at market. It's almost an opportunity for people to say, what's grabbing interest? What will work? Almost like a survey is being taken.
It's almost like a modern day World's Fair to say, hey, here's what we could do, or what we think we can do, what we'd like to bring out in the future, and here's our prototype, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, especially if the power goes out like it did last week at CES. You can't demonstrate anything. But yeah, that's a lot of what CES is showing off what could be. Some things are what, you know, are going to be soon, but yeah, it's always interesting.
And Google are about to take on the Echo Show. Of course, rivals Amazon brought out the Echo Show, which is the basically the Alexa system with a screen built into it. So as well as talking back to you, it will also show you information on the screen. Good for partially sighted people, less perhaps so for blind people. Although one thing we do know is the Echo Show has got voice view on it, which is a screen reader, so you can touch the screen and it will read back to you. So, you know, it's not out of bounds for blind people. But instead of building their own Amazon Echo Show competitor, Google are doing something else. They're teaming up with companies like JBL, Lenovo, LG, and Sony to build smart displays. that are equipped with the Google Assistant built in. And they will get YouTube, like Amazon devices. Bit of an ongoing feud there between Amazon and Google on that one. Google has been, YouTube has been pulled from a number of devices, from Amazon's devices, so that's not great. The two that were on display, JBL's Link View, which is the first such Google Assistant supporting smart display device. It's got an 8-inch display and a 5-megapixel front-facing camera. Lenovo smart display was also announced at CES. It's rather sleek looking. It's due out early in the summer and it will be available in an 8 or 10-inch model. So, really interesting. I mean, in terms of TVs at CES, the Wall was announced. Samsung's Wall, a massive 146-inch TV. If you can, if you have a wall that's big enough to take it, then that's a good place to begin. And lots of.
But then you also have to have a room that's deep enough for you to sit in to enjoy it. You'd have to sit
far
pretty
back
far
enough
away to actually get the proper scale of it. So yeah.
Yeah, and voice assistants also going into Samsung TVs, but Bixby is the one that's going into Samsung because that's their own one. Some people might not be too happy about that, but yes, you can now speak to Samsung's screens in 2018 and Bixby will respond. That all coming out later in the year. There are just so many things we could talk about, although I have to say robots was one area that made me smile because LG brought out their own kitchen robot to try and help us all out. They did a live demonstration. And what always happens, Tim, at live demonstrations?
Nothing goes right.
And nothing did. They were asking this particular smart assistant robot what could be a good idea, you know, in terms of, you know, what to cook. And the robot stared and stared and stared and did nothing.
Like, are you talking to me?
Yeah. Exactly. So really interesting times at CES, lots more. And you know, Tim, when Sean gets his electrics and his power sorted, we probably should do a bit of a geek out on it because there was a lot on there, frankly.
I think it's a great idea because, yeah, there's so many things. I know that, like you said, some of the critics were a little bit down on CES this year, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there was so much that was presented and was released and talked about at CES. So, yeah, we could probably cover a whole hour on this. So I think that is something that we should revisit once we have Sean back up and working.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go away, though, from CES. And let's go on holiday, Tim. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Well, if you do decide to go on holiday this year, you might be taking a flight somewhere. One of the most annoying things for me, and I don't know about you, Tim, I guess it's the same. You get on board and they have those in-flight entertainment systems and you can't access anything on it. And even if you are able to access yeah. anything on it, there might not be audio description. Well, Virgin have sorted this out on a number of their long-haul flights. Alan Russell has this report for us.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
If you are blind or partially sighted and find yourself flying with Virgin Atlantic, then there's some great accessible entertainment news.
This is something that's really exciting because it's first in the airline industry.
Geraldine Lundy from the airline.
I know that other airlines have some accessible entertainment on some of their fleets, but we're the first airline who has got accessible entertainment on every one of our aircraft throughout the world that we fly to. What we've done with our AV channels is we put them onto a tablet and then using the accessibility function of the tablet and working with our onboard media provider, we've managed to build an app which means that the tablet will speak to the customer and guide them through all the entertainment on that tablet so they can access anything they want to listen to without having to ask for help from anybody else.
The company behind the technology are Dunfermline-based Blue Box, and we have with us David Brown.
We do software for the aviation industry, basically. We do a number of different products, but by far the biggest one we do now is in-flight entertainment. We're the biggest supplier worldwide of kind of niche area of portable in-flight entertainment based on iPads. We have about 20,000 iPads flying with about 25 airlines around the world.
When you could have got the call then to look at audio description, where do you start? Because you know, as we heard, it's not just the description of, say, the movies, it's the whole experience, if you like, the menus and so on.
Exactly, yeah. It's something I became aware of when I saw a presentation from the in-flight entertainment manager at Air Canada, and I saw them doing a basic GUI with high contrast areas on the seatback screen, and that piqued my interest on how can we do something based on our iPads to help visually impaired passengers. That, together with forthcoming legislation based in the States to make facilities better for visually impaired passengers, and again, those two things combined, said, thought, right, I reckon we can do something that would be suitable and help visually impaired passengers. And that's where the idea came from. So we went to a development team and got them to do a mock-up, basically, using the voiceover technology that and built into the iPads and a combination of the high contrast stuff. It's where we started. And then we came to a point where we realised we need to have some input from visually impaired people because we just don't know what the issues really are. And we also knew it was critical to get an airline interested and involved in this if it was going to be successful. That's where we went to Virgin Atlantic, asked them if they'd be interested in working with us on this project, which they were absolutely delighted to because obviously they've got a big accessibility programme going on generally. And they also, by happy chance, had a good relationship with Guide Dog for the Blind down in Crawley. And Steve Pollard from Virgin got that arranged, and we kicked off a workshop session where we first met Paul and his colleagues.
Paul, when you were asked to do this, was it quite exciting getting involved in something, you know, really from the ground up?
I jumped at it, and to be asked from a company is unusual because a lot of companies think they know better than what vision impaired people do. So it was very nice to be asked. There's seven of us jumped on board, all Guide Dog owners. Most people use iPads, iPhones nowadays, one, because all the apps on there are audio described straight away. It's built on the devices. You haven't got to pay extra money to put it on devices like computers. You have to put JAWS on and stuff like that. So it's straight on. You press the button three times and it fires up. They are your lifeline. So my phone is my method of getting around. And also it is, to be honest, and it's great.
What kind of testing and feedback were you involved in?
We met up at Virgin Crawley. They come up with a product and we had to say yes, no, what do you reckon? So we was giving them loads of feedback. They went away and I think it was a couple of months, less than a couple of months, they was back with a product. And they listened to everything what we said, they listened to. And that's the main thing, and it's really good they did listen. And it really does work really well, actually.
Yeah, I think the thing was, we knew right from the beginning that we didn't have a clue, to be honest, how to go about producing the product for visually impaired people. And we were actually overwhelmed by the feedback we got. We had quite a few people there scribbling it all down and everything. What became abundantly clear was that it's not one size fits all, and we had to introduce a whole range of features for the wide range of visual impairments that are there. Now, we had some people, like Paul, saying voiceover is essential. We had other volunteers saying, nah, we'll switch that off. You know, it's a damn nuisance, you know, because they had some sight. And that's why we introduced as many of the features we could, from the high contrast areas of the screen, consistent areas of the screen for back buttons and things like that, large text, and the ability to zoom as well. You know, so we built all those into the one app. That's what we came back with the second time.
I recently travelled abroad with a couple of the big airlines, Transatlantic, and they did have audio described movies on the little screens that are in the back of the seats now, all the individual screens, but didn't have a way of going through the menus themselves. How do you actually do that with the device? Give us a bit of a demonstration on how that works.
Sure, we've got the Blue Box app is actually a dedicated app, so that's another important thing. Once you've got the iPad, it's in the Blue Box app, then the user's not going to get lost. So if I just open up the app now, we read out the options first and keep the very consistent swipe left and right, which everybody's familiar with.
Once you have selected your desired choice, tap the screen twice with one finger.
So that gives the basic instructions.
Double tap the screen with three fingers. To zoom out, double tap the screen with three fingers again.
That introduces the zoom feature if some users want to use that. Double tap gets you in.
TV. Audio. TV. Movies.
And you can hear that okay. Tap twice and we get the movie.
Frozen. Audio described.
So you can go through all those options, all the menus are there. Paul, that's going to make a huge difference when you go abroad, isn't it?
Yeah, got a kids section as well.
Ah, right, okay.
If you've got kids with vision impairment, they are limited on what they can watch as well. So parents can not worry about leaving the kids up to their own devices.
And the system is up and running now. Will you be keeping track of it and updating?
Yeah, absolutely. We support another couple thousand iPads with Urgen, so the system will be fully supported. The content will be updated at the same time as the content on the other iPads is done, so it's good. Another thing worth saying is that we're members of the Accessibility Working Group, one of our trade bodies, and I'm doing a pitch in January to share with them what we've done. One of the big pushes, I think, now is here's a platform that is really suitable for airlines to provide in-flight entertainment for visually impaired people. The key now is to get more content with audio descriptions on it.
And as they say, the sky is the limit. They are available now on Virgin Atlantic. To Paul Smith and to David Brown, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pack up, let's fly away. And don't tell your mama.
Sounds incredible, doesn't it, Tim? The idea that you can just get on a plane and be able to access and enjoy the in-flight entertainment system.
Yeah, very slowly, more and more, we do see airlines coming on board with this. I hope that this becomes a big, fast trend amongst the different airline companies, because it is nice. Like you said, if you're on, especially a long flight, and you do want to listen to a full-length movie, to have that audio description right there available to you is so handy. So yeah, I applaud Virgin for getting on board with this.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to change tack now to a different topic, and this relates to magnification and just being able to see a bit more clearly. There are lots of new devices out there. Some of them seem to live under the radar, and I thought it was time that we perhaps shone a spotlight on them here on Tech Talk. I caught up with Ian Hughes, who works for a company called Associated Optical, and he came into the studio to sit down and tell me a bit about the company, what they do. In this extended interview, and it is an extended one, so grab a cup of tea, he talks about different products, including a product I didn't even know was in the UK, and that is eSight. Here's Ian Hughes.
So, Associated Optical, we are the UK partner for Eschenbach Optic, and for the past 30 years, we've sought to provide eye care professionals with innovative magnification devices to further enhance their patient care. We work closely with all of our key manufacturers and our education team, and our aim is to inspire our customers to further improve people's lives using patient-centered optical solutions. We represent not only Eschenbach, we also have Ocutech Bioptics, we have eSight electronic glasses, thoughtfully designed range of lighting and talking clocks, keychains, and also live eyewear cocoons over specs and filters.
I mean, that is incredible. There's so much in there that we can dive into. I have to be honest with you, Ian. I found out about you because of eSight. Because we had heard so much about eSight in the past. eSight, of course, the electronic glasses, as you say. And what was fascinating about those was that, and I wasn't aware of this, that they're actually available in the UK. And it's through you. And we didn't know this at all until I had a conversation with you. And that was why I was so keen to bring you in. But what's fascinating is, and I know when we talk about technology, we often think if it's got a plug on it, it equals technology. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. And some of the technology that we've been looking at, you and I, doesn't have a plug on it. In fact, it doesn't even have batteries in it.
That's so very true.
But it is really, really up-to-date, incredible technology. And we'll talk about eSight in a minute, but Bioptics, Ocular Bioptics, is that what they're called?
Ocutech.
Ocutech
Bioptics.
These are incredible. Explain to our listeners what those are, because I was fascinated.
The Ocutech Bioptic and the VES Sport, for instance, with the one that we tried recently, it's a spectacle-mounted telescope. But as a telescope is normally, if you can imagine wearing a frame, if you put a telescope on it, it would come away from the eye and look quite long. With the Bioptic, it uses a periscope system. So, for instance, if I was to put the eyepiece in front of my left eye, the light would actually come in front of my right eye. And we do that to go across the frame so it doesn't look as obtrusive. But also it means that we can have higher magnifications without using a bigger unit. And with the Bioptic, we also have the ability to focus it. So we can use it from as little as 9 inches through to infinity. So it can cover all the ranges that you might need to read the tablet, to look at a street sign, to reading a newspaper.
So I've got about 20% useful vision. That's what I see. They call it functional vision. I call it useful, or maybe useless, depending on the situation, because, of course, nighttime can be different and all of that. And I'll explain to our listener in a minute what I thought about it, because, you know, I tried this out, and I will tell you my thoughts on it in a moment. But let's talk about eSight now. eSight is the technology which is, in some respects, similar, but it has a whole host of other additional options, doesn't it?
eSight
are the electronic glasses. These do have a plug of sorts attached.
That's right. So, yeah, with the eSight, they are electronic. We have a digital camera, a HD camera, that's housed in a visor that will take the image. There's a processing unit inside the visor that will then process the image and display it onto two OLED screens that will sit in front of the user's eyes. What we can do is then manipulate that image for the patient. So we can initially set it up for that patient's pupil measurement, and then with the handheld controller, we can increase the magnification, we can change the contrast, we can focus. So again, we've got all the tasks, all the different distances that we need to be able to do. But if we do need to put it onto enhanced contrast or the false colours to enable you to read a little bit easier, that's not a problem. Also with the eSight, we can connect it up to your laptop or your desktop or to your TV. So instead of using the camera to look out, we can make it so the two screens that you're looking at then become your laptop screen or your TV screen. So we can move around the screen a lot easier.
And
so
you physically move your head, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. And so that, say, for instance, you was working in an office environment and you were looking at sensitive information, you wouldn't need a screen in front of you that everybody in the room is going to be able to see and to read. You can have your keyboard, your mouse, plug your eSight into your tower, and you're the only person that can see what's on the screen.
I mean, I've got a 20-inch monitor on my computer, and when I type an email, you know, I swear I could get an email from someone in the International Space Station that's telling me, I know what you're writing because yes. I can see it from here. This is an incredible piece of tech, and I did try this as well. And what I will say about this is I think it's a stunningly brilliant piece of tech. I mean, it is so good. It can be life-changing. I mean, what eSight say, the company themselves say that this brings back vision to people. Almost 2020 vision, they say. I think they do say 2020 vision, actually. They go that far. Mm-hmm. For people with certain eye conditions, this doesn't work for everybody. That's fair. And I think it's safe to say that with this kind of technology, the most important thing is to try it, isn't it?
100%. It's we have criteria, and we're very keen to ensure that people understand the criteria before they arrive, because we want to manage expectations.
So if someone gets in touch with you and says, I'm interested in this, Ian, you go through a process.
Exactly. So I will speak to them. They'll have gone through the criteria with the office staff to ensure that they meet the criteria, because it is advertised as helping the blind, legally blind see.
Yeah.
Which we don't use the terminology like that in the UK. But what it does do is it relies on people having usable sight. And I think in the early stages, very much was getting everybody ring up and go, I want to try it, because they'd looked at it and they might have not had any usable vision. And unfortunately, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So if they've got a visual acuity between right about 6/24 and 6/240, then there may be something we can do. Eye conditions it works for, they were originally designed for Stargardt's, which is juvenile macular degeneration, and they do lend themselves very well to conditions where you do lose your central vision. That said, they can work for lots of others, so Leber's, retinitis pigmentosa, glaucoma. If you've got serious RP and serious glaucoma, then I will manage your expectations that it may not be as successful. And one of the most important things is motivation. Is that on paper we can have the conditions great, we can have the acuity great, but you've got to understand it's going to be a different way of how you've been looking and using things.
That's it. That's a really important point, isn't it? Because it's about doing it a little bit differently, maybe seeing a little bit differently in order for this to work. Uh-huh. And if you're prepared to put yourself through that and go through that process, then it could make all the difference. But again, it is individual. And that's so important. I try to stress that as much as possible. And, you know, you're very responsible about saying that as a company, that this is not something you should just buy tomorrow because it's brilliant. It may be brilliant to some, but it may be just okay to others or useless to others. That's just the way it goes with this kind of tech.
100%. And I'm very conscious that when I'm doing assessments, we will try and meet all the different tasks that somebody wants to do. And that's one of the main things I say and ask is, what do you want to do with it?
Yeah.
If you want something to be able to read, and that's your main aim, and we try the e-site and it's okay for reading, but I have something else within my portfolio, like one of the new Visilux HD electronic aids, then that's where I'll send you down that road and let you try that.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of when we do the assessments, is that we've not just got the e-site as well, so we can go down whichever road, like with the bioptics or...
And you know, I'm not plugging your company, because I'm not allowed to do that, obviously, because, you know, it's not my thing to do that. But what I will say is that's the joy of coming to an independent in that respect, mm-hmm. because you are, you're unbiased in this approach. You're not trying to push sales of an e-site or sales of a particular, because actually what you can do is say, well, okay, maybe that doesn't work for you, but this might. So we kind of benefit in this country from that. We get a bit more out of it than that. And actually that takes us back to the bioptics, because that was, I didn't know they even existed. And when I tried them, I was blown away. I really was. And I was blown away because I was able to see with perfect clarity a distance that without them I could see, I wouldn't even know. We looked at, I think, a shop or something on
the club
or something on the corner of a street, which was about two blocks away. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even known it was there. I had no idea that it was even there in front of me. And we were about maybe two floors up in a building looking at
the side window.
And we were up on that first floor looking at the window at the side, looking down the street, and there was that building, and I didn't know it was there. And I said to you, oh, there's the campus club. Because the first thought in my mind was, oh, now I know where I am in the town. We'd arrived there in a car, so I didn't know where I was in relation to the rest of the city. That gave me my bearings instantly. But I was able to see that with absolute clarity.
Uh-huh.
And there's no tech in it. This is full of tech, actually. This is an incredible creation of mirrors and prisms and things that go on inside it that I can't even begin to understand. But the capability to see clearly with that kind of technology, it really did blow me away. And it made me see that there was hope, a little bit of hope out there. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is a very emotional thing for you. I mean, I don't know how you feel with all of this. People maybe do get emotional with you. I don't know.
100%. It's there's no better feeling than seeing somebody who may have given up or maybe coming to you as a kind of last resort, mm-hmm. and then you get in something and they try it and go. You hear the intake of breath, or they'll cry on you. Yeah. I had a grown man the other day, just literally stood there. He wanted it for a particular task. He popped them on, and he's like, "I'm really sorry, Ian, for crying." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? It's there's nothing better." And even it doesn't have to be the e-site. It doesn't have to be the bioptics. I had a gentleman fly over from South Africa to try the e-site.
Oh wow!
And it didn't work for him because he had more of a contrast issue, and I just popped one of the filters on. And he went out onto our driveway, and at the time there's a large tree at the bottom of our drive. Without the glasses, he couldn't see the tree. He just popped the filters on, and he's like, oh, I can see the tree now, and he could read three lines better on the chart. And he apologises, like, I'm really sorry, I didn't buy the e-site. I'm like, but you can see. He's like, yeah, well, there you go, I'm happy, my job's done. So it was great to witness you trialing them in that situation, not knowing what they were, not knowing what they could do,
mm-hmm.
and the difference was fantastic. And
oh, it was. It really was. I said to you at the time, if I have the cash on me, I was trying to find a way of not paying for Christmas.
Of course.
At that point. You do other products, though. And I have to say, I'll try and get this right, because I bet for years I've been saying it wrongly. Eschenbach?
That's yep, good right. enough for me.
I have been using those magnifying glasses since I was yee-high. And they've always been the name. For me, when I think about magnifiers, especially ones with lights in them that I've always used for years, since I was at school, primary school days, it was always Eschenbach that I used. But I mean, as well as all of that, you've also got other products, like the Visiolux HD that you were talking about. I mean, those aren't glasses, but that's going back to the magnification.
That's it. And one thing that we're very proud about Eschenbach with is that they have a designated research and development team. And so when we get feedback from optometrists in the UK that we train, or from end users, we'll feed that back and they will look and they will make products for that purpose. Don't get me wrong, not every little feedback is going to get implemented.
no, of course not.
If you want to make it this or make it that, it's sometimes not feasible.
Make it all yellow.
Of course.
It's not going to happen.
But with the Visiolux HD, we looked at some of the things that people were struggling to do. So, for instance, this unit is a 7-inch unit, so it's transportable, but it comes on a stand where the angle is great for reading, so better for posture. And it has a unique feature on the back where you can press a button on one side and the screen, the camera will oscillate so it moves across the page. So it's the width of a column of a newspaper, because people were telling us that when they were moved, they were having to keep moving their magnifier across and losing where they are. So we can put a guideline on there, and then we can just press this button, and it'll move across it'll oscillate across the page and just read across that line for you. So all you're doing is moving it up and down rather than left to right.
Goodness me.
But we've also got connectivity into, again, your laptop or your desktop or your TV into HDMI. So you can use it almost as a CCTV. Put it on your page and look up at it on the TV screen.
That is incredible. I mean, this is why I wanted you to come in, because this kind of technology I wouldn't even know about, you know? I mean, and I'm sure people do, but I think I want to tell people about this as much as possible. I said to you when we talked about the bioptics, the glasses, I said, I want to tell the world about this, because, you know, people need to know that this kind of technology exists.
With the bioptics, it's very much something, quite rightly, getting it out there to the people that need it is the main thing. And with the bioptics, I think people may have seen them in the past or may be aware of them, but there's this misconception that they're for driving, because in America you can drive in them.
Oh, that's interesting, right.
So it's never going to happen in the UK.
No.
And so if anybody's ever considering bioptics for driving, I'm going to say to them straight out,
it's not going to happen. And that's the same with eSight as well. None of these products will be used for that.
No. And it's all, we can help with magnification, not an issue, but it's all to do with the field. And with the bioptics, obviously you found it yourself. Other people recently that have tried them are like, this is amazing. Why do I not know? And it's getting it out there to people. If you use a telescope for anything, for distance, there's no reason why the bioptics cannot.
Well, that's right. I used to have a monocular. I still do have a monocular that I've used from time to time. The problem with it is that it's either not on hand when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you can wear it around your neck, and I do that occasionally, but most often than not, it's in the bag. You're standing waiting on a bus, and I've got to go and get my bag and zip the thing and get that out. And you can't be bothered. Well, I can't. So, you know, you end up just thinking, I'll just ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But with these, because I'm wearing them, or I would be wearing them all the time, that is what I want to do. So yes, it is definitely on my list. I want to talk to you though about some of your other products, because you mentioned earlier about these filter.
That's correct.
They're not glasses, are they? But they're
Filter shades.
Shades,
filter,
right.
Yes. Yeah, so we have filter glasses that do two purposes, really. We have two sets of colours. So there's four different colours altogether. We have boysenberry, which I believe is a European cross between a raspberry and a blackberry.
Okay.
Available in Waitrose, I've been told.
I'm learning a lot here. Oh, of course, in Waitrose.
I don't shop in Waitrose, so I never knew what it was.
No, I don't either.
Hazelnut.
Okay, I understand that
hazelnut,
one.
And lemon and orange.
Right, okay.
Which I never realised it was all food and kind of things like that. And so the yellow and the orange are great for enhancing contrast.
Mm-hmm.
The boysenberry and the hazelnut are great for reducing glare. With both of these, though, both of these sets, they stop blue light. So they cut out certain parts of the blue spectrum, which can be damaging. And for some people, it can just be an irritant more than anything else.
Mm.
So the frames themselves are made out of a ballistic nylon. So they're actually indestructible. Usually when we say that to somebody, that's a task for them to go and...
it's a challenge.
Challenge to try and break it. And what we'll actually do is give the frames a lifetime warranty.
Wow.
So the lenses are covered for a year. But the actual frames, you can adjust them yourself. So if you wear a hearing aid or you change your specs, anything like that, you can just pop them straight over the top. If you've had a cataract removed and you can't change your glasses yet, pop these over just so that it protects the macula a little bit more.
That's incredible. So you really do cover, for those who've got partial vision through a number of different conditions, you know, you've got products to help. I think it comes to that central argument, though, that in this country, I was certainly taught when I was growing up, always use your remaining vision. Use it as much as possible. And I get that. I must say, as someone who lives with an eye condition every single day, and certainly in the last 2 years, I've found that harder and harder to do, because my eyes get so tired all the time. And I think products like what you're talking about can help maybe reduce that fatigue a little bit. And if it does that, that's a huge difference to your life. And that's kind of what it's about, isn't it? It's about just trying to make life a bit easier for all of us.
Exactly that. One of the concepts that we have for retail is something called Easy Vision. And it's really about making life easier. When you do get a little bit older, your eyes do deteriorate, and that's perfectly normal. You get to over 60, you need more light than when you did when you were younger. It's just the fact that your pupils are shrinking. You need to make life easier. So getting the right light, getting a magnifier, not because you're visually impaired, but because you want to make it easier to read. We have calculators. Is that because we're all stupid? No, it's because it's easier to do it.
Exactly.
And it's exactly the same. And it's changing the mindset of people that you've got to be visually impaired to use a magnifier, and changing the stigma. And it's working out there. With the training that we're doing, with the workshops that we put on for rehabilitation officers, for optometrists and dispensing opticians, that's filtering out to people. You can see it more on the high street. So I'm hoping that it's getting out there and the message is getting across.
I mean, you're right, because I was in the pound shop the other week and they were selling a magnifier for your phone. So you could have your phone in a sort of cradle, if you like, and you could have a big magnifier in front of it that was maybe a few inches away, and it meant you could just see your phone a little bit easier. I know that's not entirely what you mean, but what it says is that we're trying to normalise the whole process.
Yes.
That this kind of technology, this kind of kit is for all, you know, because I mean, there are people who use magnifiers for their jobs, for their, you know, like those people that do jewellery and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You have to have that kind of technology. So it's, you know, it's all there for the taking. Tell us how people can find out about your company, because I'm sure by this point people will be scrambling to get in touch with you.
No worries. So we have, our main website is associatedoptical.com. We have bioptic.co.uk and also esighteyewear.co.uk. You can contact us on email, info@associatedoptical.com. Our office phone number is 01628 600 410. We are on Facebook, Twitter. So feel free to contact us as you wish.
And if people want demonstrations or to try out the kind of equipment, this is what you do essentially, isn't it? You travel the country.
Of course.
Talking to people.
I between me and my colleagues, we look after the whole of the UK and Northern Ireland, and we will do assessments, eSight assessment days, where we will spend time looking at the eSight to seeing its suitability. During that, we will then assess and look at the other products that may be suitable for you as well. And that's what we do alongside servicing the NHS hospitals, local schemes, opticians. So there'll always be something within your area. It's just finding what days and where. And again, the office have all that information to hand.
So get in touch, basically.
Get in touch.
Fantastic. Ian, thank you for coming in and thank you for telling us about your products. And yeah, thank you for sharing with us about these products, because I think it's so important that people know that they are there. I mean, you know, with the best will in the world, it's a very hard world to penetrate in some ways. Blind people don't all mix in the same circles. You know, we're not all one homogenous group that listen to the one thing or watch the one whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's quite hard to pin everyone down. But, you know, one thing I will say about the blind community is that we do talk amongst ourselves, and that word can get out there that way. So hopefully this helps and gets the word out about the kind of products and tells people that they're there, which is what it's all about.
Excellent. No, I just appreciate the opportunity and look forward to helping as many people as we can.
Thanks to Ian Hughes there, and do check out Associated Optical. What a great company, doing some great work. And, you know, try out this stuff, because at the end of the day, it might not be for you, might not work at all, but if you don't try it, you'll never know. Anyway, time to turn to our friend Claire Potter, who's back with us again with more Potter's Picks. Hello, Claire.
Oh, hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How are you this week?
I am really, really good, yeah. I'm absolutely raring to go. It's second week back, and I'm absolutely raring to go.
Excellent.
Can't wait to do this.
And this week, it's kind of a new year, new you theme, isn't it?
Yeah, we are carrying on from last week. So we've done our New Year's resolutions. Hopefully people have decided what they want to do for this year.
Oh, we've binned that. We've binned all that, Claire. You know, we said we were all going to get fit last week, and then I don't think anybody did anything. In fact, all I did was buy more chocolate.
Oh, that's fine. Well, if you don't want to get fit, then something that people might want to do is take up a new skill. So this week I'm focusing on one of the most important skills when you are visually impaired, especially when it comes down to actually using computers. And that skill is, of course, learning to touch type.
Good skill. Yeah, I learned touch typing at school, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
I bet it is.
Because now I think about, you know, using JAWS and VoiceOver and NVDA and the multitude of screen readers that are out there. and, you know, I don't think I could have done it without being, you know, understanding the keyboard the way I now do. So, yeah, touch typing is great. So is this, what are these then? Are these ways that people can learn to type if they're blind?
Without giving away too much, we've got some software that people can use. So they can put it onto the computers. And my final item is something that some people might benefit from if they struggle to use a standard laptop keyboard.
Okay. All right. On you go then. So number one, what have you got?
So my first one is called the Azabat Touch Typing Tutor Collection. Now, I am actually using this at the minute because I am only just learning to touch type. I wasn't as fortunate as you, Stephen, unfortunately, you know. It's just not something that I learned to do at school.
Yeah.
So it is my fifth week of learning to type. And I must admit, I'm all right with it. My speech is about 5 words per minute, but I'm getting there slowly.
That's not bad.
Well, it's okay.
Well, but now, hang on. You couldn't type at all before, could you? You didn't know where to put your fingers on the keys, did you? I mean, what you were...
Well, let's think of it this way. I had a laptop, and I've had a laptop for about 3 years, and I wouldn't even go near the thing. It would literally just sit there in a corner in his special nice laptop case that I've got for it and everything, and I just wouldn't even go near it. It was that far in a corner, I couldn't even reach it. That's how far away I put it, just because I just didn't want to even touch it.
But now you're
and
typing...
And now I just can't really get off it at all.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's really good.
That's great. Okay, so that's been useful to you then?
It's really good, yeah, because especially the collection of the Azabat tutors, you can actually buy them separate as well. Because it comes in two levels that people can use. And it's basically a beginner's and an advanced level. So the beginner's one is what I started off with, obviously, because I'm a beginner. Uh-huh. And that talks about where you need to put your fingers on the different keys. It talks about how you can move your fingers from one key to another, obviously, because some keys you might need to stretch. So, for example, if you're on a letter F and you need to get to the letter B, you need to go one down and you need to stretch a little bit to the right. That's one of the ways it talks about it. And it also teaches you to type some really simple words. And as you get further into it, you get to type some slightly harder words, and it builds up because you get lessons where you've got to type the individual letters. Then the exercises, you get to type actual words, which I think is really, really good. But it basically, it times you. And when you get to about lessons and exercise 6, and 7, which are the final two lessons, there's actually a feature that you can use called Check Your Progress in the beginner's one, and that actually tells you your approximate typing speed and your accuracy as well, which I think is a really good thing for people to know.
And what's great is it's built with blind people in mind, which is fantastic. So how much is it?
So this one is £55, which I think is really good price. And that is for the beginners and the advanced together. If you do want to get it, it's from the RNIB shop. And the code for it is HG07.
Okay.
Like I said, it is really, really worth it. If you are wanting to learn to type and you have been struggling for ages to find something which you can use and that's quite accessible, this is something that you might want to consider, because if you have no vision, it's actually self-voiced. And it is with all the operating systems as well of Windows,
that is
from 98 and up.
That is a top pick, let me tell you. Right, what's number two?
Right, number two, unfortunately, this one is not for everyone. It's called English Type. It's a really popular one. So it's a really fun touch typing tutor, which is really easy to install. You can either do it from a website or you can order a CD and do it. And it also doesn't need an internet connection. So it's, again, really useful for those times when your Wi-Fi goes down and you think, oh, what do I want to do now? I want to do some touch typing and kill that boredom.
Yeah.
you do get two versions of this one, and these ones are based on age. Well, sort of. I mean, anybody can use a junior one, for example, which is for ages 6 to 11, and then there's a senior one for 12 plus, so obviously more adult ones. It works for both Windows and Mac. Compared to the first one that I spoke about, which is just for Windows, this one works for both Windows and Mac. And it's really easy to install from the website, or if you don't want to do it that way because you struggle to get online, you can actually ring them and they can give you a CD. As long as you tell them whether you want it for Windows or Mac, you can install it that way. Unfortunately, it's not fully accessible because if you have no vision, it's not self-voiced. It is, however, accessible for those who have some partial sight, and they can read up to 48-point font. It does also have some different colours that people can choose from if they struggle to see certain colours, so things like in the background. So it's really good. Unfortunately, like I said, it's not self-voiced, so if you are like myself and you don't have vision, you know, you're out on this one, sorry.
Yeah, but you've got Azabat, so, you know, yeah, there are options out there, and you've laid that
it's
out.
It's the structure, I think, you know, and the way different types of software work, obviously, because they're done by different people, and it's just a shame, really. But I think the people that designed English Type, you know, were aware that, you know, some people with visual impairments were able to touch type. So, of course, they did their absolute best to design it for those with partial sight, at least. And I think they are actually working on doing a self-voiced version as well. So okay. I think that would be really good if they do actually get around to doing that.
So where from and how much?
So this one, you can actually get it from English Type themselves. You can go to www.englishtype, so that's the word English and type, all one word, .com. The price for it is $29.95 as a download from the website, or $32.45 as a CD, because there's a bit of a delivery charge on it. But again, it's a really good price. If you don't want to go online, you can also ring them, and that is on their website again. So
okay.
It's another option that people might want to consider.
Sounds good. And your third option, which I'm rather intrigued by.
Yeah, so this is called a large print keyboard with detachable light.
Hmm.
So compared to a standard computer keyboard, this large print keyboard for it's just for Windows computers, this one, not for Mac. So sorry. Means
we'll
that
fall out, Claire.
So
we're going to fall out, you know.
Oh, better not. Well, you know, you can't have everything.
No, you can't have everything. No, that's true.
But it's for Windows computers. But when people use it, it means that typing is just so much easier for those who struggle to see the standard writing on a keyboard. All the letters are uppercase, so it means they are really clear to see from what I hear. And the keyboard is actually 42-point print, so the keys are really, really big.
That is big, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you can see smaller, it should be fine, but if you need a little bit of a bigger font, you might need to look for something else. But this one is up to 42-point font. And it also includes a lamp, which you can plug into the side of it. So there's like a USB port where you can plug it into the side. And when you plug the light in, you can actually illuminate the characters on the keys, and then you can actually improve the contrast as well, which I think is a really good option for those that need it.
Incredible. Right, where from and where and how much?
Right, so this one is from the RNIB shop. The price for it is £85. There are three different codes for this because there are three different colour options. So the code for white text on black keys is HK58. The code for black text on yellow keys, if you need that, is HK59. And it's HK60 for yellow text on black keys.
Wow. Well, that is an excellent selection. I would always encourage people to shop around if you can. You never know, you might get it cheaper elsewhere.
Definitely, yeah.
If that's the case, then great if you can. But really good picks this week, and I love the theme. I look forward to next week's picks, Claire.
Oh, I really, really do hope you are, because I am doing about hobbies.
Oh, hobbies. Oh, right. Well, that's a wide area. I don't know how you're going to fit that into three, but I look forward to it. Claire Potter, as always, thank you so much for your Potter's picks.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, that's it from us, Tim. But how do people get in touch if they want to?
The email address, Stephen, is techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
And you can follow us on Twitter as well, @RNIB Radio. If you want to follow us individually, I'm @TechTalkerSteve. Tim, what are you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter in a couple of places. You can find me @LabCast. That's LABCAST for the Life After Blindness show. Or follow me personally @TimSchwartz. And the number 5, Tim Schwartz 5.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Tim, as always. You know, I'm glad you could be bothered to turn up. And, you know, let's just not talk about Sean with his electrical and internet problems. but hopefully he'll be back with us next week. And we will catch you then, where we will have the news and we will have your emails. Keep them coming in, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Don't forget the podcast as well. And thank you once again for spending your hour with us here on Tech Talk. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Talk to you next week.